Hello everyone and welcome to this new podcast called Ada the Autistic Alien. I'm very happy that you're here with me today. My name is Dada and this podcast is dedicated to my alter ego called Adad, which I know to be inside of me since a very young age. And I actually never really shared the views of Adad, or I only shared them like very toned down, because I always felt that I'm in this world but I'm not from it. And maybe everything that Adad perceives is not really here to be shared with mankind. But now I understood that in times of superficiality and inauthenticity, it's very important to be vulnerable. And so this is my most vulnerable project today. And I do this because I feel like autists are very much needed in this world. 1% of all humans is within the autistic spectrum. So that's one person in 100. Like imagine if you're at a rave with 3,000 people, 30 people will be within the autistic spectrum. And most probably not even 5 of them will know that they are in the autistic spectrum. So I want to record this on one hand to share the knowledge about the spectrum, share my experience within the spectrum, and also like share my journey towards my diagnosis. Because at this moment, it's exactly two months before my 35th birthday, I'm not diagnosed with autism, but a lot of the professionals that I was blessed to work with in the past weeks all agree upon that I am in the spectrum. It can take up to 2 years until I get my diagnosis, because there is only so many people who work in this subject, and because there are more professionals needed, it takes a long time to really evaluate if I have autism, if I have Asperger's syndrome, or in other words, am in the autistic spectrum, or if there is another case of neurodiversity that I have. So I want to like quote Britannica first. The term autism, from Greek autos, meaning self, was coined in 1911 by the Swiss psychiatrist Eugen Bleuler, who used it to describe withdrawal into one's inner world. So even if, and as I already said, nobody's questioning this, but even if I would not be diagnosed with autism per se, but with another neurodiversity, I still very much identify with the word autistic, because since I am in this body, I had this withdrawal within or into my own world. And maybe another thing I want to mention very quickly is English is not my mother tongue. It's Swiss German and German. So whenever like I stumble upon words, I really ask you to excuse me, because I try to do this like flexible and spontaneous, or as much as this spontaneous is possible for somebody within the spectrum. And sometimes I will stumble upon words and I will just leave them in, because I feel like I want to share this in a language that a lot of people speak and a lot of people understand, so that the wisdom can be spread all over the world if it's needed. Okay, as I already said, this podcast is about me and my journey towards my diagnosis, but it's also about just my life in the spectrum. And because I spent 34 years with, like, let's say autism and didn't know about it, I feel like I had a lot of harshness towards myself. And because I'm a trainer in self-love, this was a really big thing to understand for me, that like certain things that I tried to change in order to be able to love myself more are not changeable for me because I'm within the spectrum. So what is the spectrum? In the early beginnings, when autism was noted by psychiatrists, there was like two main autism they saw. It was Asperger's, which were people that were actually functioning in society, but they perceived the world around them differently than other people. And then there was like what we call the real autism, which are people who are not able to live by themselves. And for a long time, we thought that this was an illness that can be cured. Now, scientists found out that autism is a spectrum. So that means you can have very slight variations of it, or you can have very strong variations of it. And since that, the term Asperger is not really anymore in use. Autism is not an illness. It is a state of perception that is outside of what humanity decided to be normal. And people with my kind of perception are not disabled. We are diverse from the norm. And because the whole world and its systems are built upon the norm, our kind of perception of the world is actually disabling us in certain ways of our interaction with the world. So that means, for example, I hear much better than anyone that I've ever encountered. Yeah, I hear things that are way too far away for me to be physically able to hear them. So that means I'm very, very, very sensitive to noises. And that's something that also like shows itself in I'm very sensitive to information overload. I like direct communication. I like communication that doesn't use too many words. And I like things that go straight to the point. I don't like small talk. I don't like talking about things that do not interest me. And that makes me many times socially awkward. Because for me, it's very difficult to keep my attention span when you are talking about something that's not interesting me, or if you are just using too many words to describe something that's very simple. And all my life, I hated myself for that because I thought that I'm not nice, no? I'm not kind to people. Like, why do I have these things that interest me so much? Like, I love words. I love symbols. I love numbers. I love especially written words. I love to find out where a word comes from and how it developed over the years. I love to learn new written codes, like the runes, so I can write my letters in them. So if you talk to me about stuff like that, even if it's computer programming, because it's a code as well, I'm super interested and into it. But if you talk to me about these things in the wrong kind of words, like you use too many words to describe too less information, I will not listen to you anymore. And that's something I tried to control my whole life, but I just wasn't able to, yeah? And on the other hand, if you talk my language, it's very rare that people talk my language direct and clear and on point and also talk about things that interest me. But if they do, I will love them forever because then like both my needs are met. And as you might have already thought of yourself, this way of being is very difficult in today's society because we are flooded with information all the time. All the time. And to me, it's like there is so little valid information in this blast of information that reaches me day by day that I just shut it down. Like I totally shut it off and I just have to be within my own bubble. So that's why I really escape into my own inner world. And in this world, like since I was a child, things were more lovable than humans simply because they were authentic. Yeah, like if I have a plush animal, this plush animal doesn't try to be something that it's not. Yeah, it doesn't try to impress me. It doesn't play all these social games that humans tend to play that I do not understand. Because, like, for example, I think it's very difficult to flirt with me simply because I will not get it, yeah? Like, I will definitely not get it. There were so many, like, situations throughout my life in the rave scene where, like, my girlfriends came up to me and were like, why didn't you go home with that guy? And I was like, oh, that was a possibility? Yeah, he was like, he was really into you. And I was like, ah, okay, we thought we just had a good chat. And then on the other hand, if you are like too direct and you don't take into consideration that I first must be interested in you, I feel like you're plump and like you're not interesting because it's too direct. So that's another thing. It's socially very awkward. Yeah, like you want to have friends and you want to interact with people, but there are some like interaction skills that you miss, and I'm not really able to like generate them. And I also don't really want to, because that's what I said in the beginning. I really feel like autistic people are needed in this world, because, you know, we built up this system. It's called capitalism or neoliberalism. And this system is not good for humanity. Yeah, it's the system. And I don't blame anyone like for creating the system. But let's just say this system is here. And this system changes humans. Not in a good way. And autists cannot obey to the system. It's outside of our range of possibility. Like even I, who was able to like find a way to deal with society, find a way to build a life that's like, right now my life quality is really bad, but still my life quality was maybe always a bit better than that of people who always needed help with being in the spectrum, yeah? But still, there are so many borders that I cannot cross, and I feel that they kind of saved me, because no matter how much I worked within the system, there was always this part of me that didn't obey. There was always this part of me that stayed authentic. Although it was encapsulated within myself, and it took me a long time of self-healing to like let it out more. And I feel like with this podcast, it really liberates itself and starts to talk. It was very difficult to reach that point of understanding that, okay, there is this thing I encapsulated within myself because I understood it, there, it has no place in society. But exactly this thing that I encapsulated is the thing that society needs. Because so many people are sick, right? Like, no matter if it's psychological illness or physical illness, we really, like, so many people are sick. Like, I know people over 30 who don't have some sort of illness. And I don't see illness as something bad and sanity as something good. They are all part of the same process. But still, like, if so many people are getting sick, then there is something that's sickening them. Yeah. And of course, there is these things we eat and these things we drink and these things we breathe. But I think it goes much deeper than that, because where do all these things come from? They come from the industry, and the industry is capitalistic or neoliberalistic. So it's only interested in gaining more profit. And if we have to gain more profit and more profit and more profit and more profit, something has to pay for it. This more profit doesn't come from anywhere. It comes from somewhere. So something has to give. And what currently is giving is human sanity. Yeah, we give our health away to a system that was not designed to take care of us. And again, I don't want to blame anyone, but I feel like here people from the spectrum have this great ability or this gift. Because one thing that comes with Asperger's, or like with being in the autistic spectrum, is I don't take anything for truth unless I either like experienced it myself, or I calculated it, or I studied it. Yeah, like nothing that someone ever told me, I just took for, okay, that's true. And that's what enables us to not obey to certain societal standards, also because we literally can't. But it also maybe is a possibility for mankind to really, because if it's 1 in 100, then it's a message, Yeah, that maybe the norm as we had it, that also the psychological norm as we had it might is up for a change. Because what I think is very interesting is that Japanese scientists who study the future said that when we cultivate human abilities within our children that computers cannot do, that would be empathy, that would be love for oneself and others, that would be creativity, that would be bringing new ideas into the world, then we will never have to be scared of artificial intelligence. Because that's something artificial intelligence can't do. And that's what we see now. Like when people draw these pictures with the help of artificial intelligence, you can tell that that wasn't a human because the inspiration is drawn from many different sources. AI has no possibility to have a new spark of idea itself. Yeah, I could tell you more about the spiritual background to this, but maybe I'll dive into that on another day. Anyways, so, and here autists come in, because every autist is creative in their own way. And a lot of what we today call artificial intelligence is actually based on the work of autists. Because a lot of people that work in the Silicon Valley are autistic. So, yeah, because we all love code, don't we? So, you can see that, in my honest opinion, autism might be the thing that can free the world from certain conditionings that other people are not aware of. Because most people I talk to are not aware of the subtle interactions within flirting that I do not understand. So I think autism for the rest of the world is an invitation into more awareness, into more conscious interaction with others, into not just implying that everybody is like you, because let's be honest, nobody is like you. Nobody. So why do we still hold up that standard? Like, it's very weird to me anyways, but that's where, again, I feel like an alien and not like a human. That people can, like, either we're all the same or we're all different. But both together don't work in a human's mind. And that's what I, for example, do not get, because in my mind it's absolutely logical. We all wear the same skin suit. We all are this cocktail of chemistry. But then again, this chemistry is so different in all of us, and we still know so little about our brain, about our body in total, about our DNA and what it really does, that which is also a code and I love very much and look into a lot. So I just think that, you know, we are so, or humanity is so strong in its wanting to have a fixed idea of something, and this idea shall not change, okay? And to me, I just see a lot of potential in seeing, like, opposite ideas as the same expressions of one truth. Because we are all the same in it. We are human. We are all souls, cosmic souls that have a human experience within flesh and bone. But then again, maybe all of us come from different parts of the universe to reincarnate here, or to incarnate here. And then again, all of our bodies might contain so different chemistry that we might perceive very, very differently. And maybe in the future somebody finds out that everyone's on the spectrum, but it's just like very verified, yeah? And like with so many people, no, with so many things we see dying now. You know, like after the pandemic, I think a lot of the system is dying now. A lot of the ways of how we do things are looked upon again. And I feel like a big thing here is really how we interact with each other and how the system makes us interact with each other, because there is no time for the other anymore. there is no time for the other to be different. Yeah? Because we all have to go to work. There is no time to really take care of the tone that I use to talk to you, which autists are very sensitive to. And I also realized that, like, all the people that I would call my friends are either they have some kind of neurodiversity, like ADHD or hypersensitivity, or they work with disabled people. And for that, maybe have a greater, like a greater openness towards people that behave a bit differently without taking it personal. But these are like the only people that I was able to keep as friends over the years. And I really think that it's not because I don't want to be friends with, let's just call them humans for now, and they don't want to be friends with me. But I feel like there is so much, it's like with cats and dogs. It takes a long time to adjust to the other. Yeah, because I feel like if you're in the norm, this world is still working for you, although it's not working for Mother Nature. And if you're outside of the norm, you perceive very clearly, and that also is with ADHD or hypersensitivity, you feel and see very clearly that this is not working anymore. And these are two points of view that clashed in my world a lot. And I always wondered why other people can be so ignorant in my perception. And I think like they might have thought like, how can I be so complicated in my perception or so wide and deep? And I feel like maybe there is really translation needed because, you know, like, what do they say? Like 70% of all newborn people are in have ADHD or something like that. I will have to verify that again. I don't want to just throw that out here. But like, and also hypersensitivity, like so many people are hypersensitive now. I think it's like every 10th person. So like if every 100th person is an autist and every 10th person is hypersensitive, and then let's say maybe every 3rd person has ADHD, these, in my opinion, are all reactions of the whole to actually generate change. Yeah, because as long as the world is ruled by those that are in the norm, it's getting killed. Because the norm, like I feel like the norm maybe was a very wide percentage of the world, and now it gets smaller and smaller. And that's why also the systems fall down. But that's just my point of view. Like you will understand this. To me, everything is one. So if I talk about my autism, I will also talk about the state of the world. I will talk about politics. I will talk about systems. Simply because to me, there is no separation between them. It's all one big web. And like many other artists, I really dedicate my life to finding knots in the web so we can serve the web more easily and more fluently. And not only the artists, but all living beings. Because what I realized that I suffer from as an artist is just very amplified of what all the humans I work with in my chi sessions and stuff fight with, yeah? So they have the same issues. They are just toned down because they are not in the spectrum, so they are not as sensitive towards things that feel uncomfortable, yeah? So, maybe I want to, like, share some things with you that make me and professionals around me think that I'm in the autistic spectrum. I already mentioned some of them. So what I can remember since I was a child is that social interaction was always very difficult. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm not empathetic because I know everything that a person thinks and feels. But that was a big problem because people are conditioned, as I already said, so they do not act out what they think and feel. They act out what they are trained to act out or to show in this situation. So to me, humans per se were inauthentic. And a long time I actually blamed humans around me for their inauthenticity until I learned that, okay, wow, it's just that I'm in the spectrum, and to them it's like, it's not even really possible to get out of the conditioning, where for me it's almost impossible to get into the conditioning, which was a really big epiphany. And another thing that I realized is, and I already have mentioned that quickly before, is what I care for, I'll never forget. Like, there are memories stored in my brain that are like, they don't matter to anybody else, but I will never forget them. And then what I don't care for, I will not even really perceive. So I have this very focused mind, like a tunnel vision, and only what is of interest to me will enter, like, my perception. I had a self-harming behavior in sensory overloading situations since I was a child. Like, with me, that shows itself, like, with a lot of Asperger autists, that I form fists with my hands and I bang them on my head, like, really strong. And that's actually also, like, what made us understand that I'm in the spectrum, because this is a very typical situation, because I understand that the sensory overload is happening in my head. There is too much information or too much noise, and because I want to silence it down, I will bang on my head. It's a kind of very aggressive self-stimulation. I have a general depression since birth, and I'm suicidal since I was 11. Never did I attempt suicide, but I always contemplated it, which also made therapy very difficult, I must admit, because a lot of, like, psychiatrists, as soon as you start to contemplate suicide, they will put you into a hospital. And I think that's not a very good way to handle this, because if we can contemplate suicide, most probably we will not do it. But if we cannot even contemplate it without fearing very strong interference into our daily life, there is this certain border, like, it's a taboo. And this is what this podcast is really about. I want to break taboos around neurodiversity, around autism, around psychological issues, because although the world is acting very openly, and is, if they would already really take care of people with psychological issues, I experience it very differently. It's very hard to find the right help. It's very hard to find the right doctors who will actually take you seriously. It's very hard. I mean, I'm in therapy since I was 20, and nobody ever realized that I'm in a spectrum. So there is a lot of work to be done, especially in the medicine people who are not informed or informed in the wrong way. Like, even my doctor didn't take me seriously when I went to him and said I need to get a diagnosis. He didn't want to take the responsibility, but he told me that I first need to go to a psychologist who gives me, like, this paper. Okay, and then I had enough of it and I called the professionals myself, and they were, like, really surprised, and they said, okay, your doctor wouldn't have needed to send you to another psychologist. So, you know, there are a lot of hurdles to take, and I understand that people who are depressed or who, like, do not want to even fight for their life anymore will not be able to take these hurdles. So it's not fair to say people kill themselves, but I would rather say they die from depression. And they die from depression because we do not help them in a good way. And that's what this is about. Let's talk about these things. I'm tired of putting it all under the carpet. I'm tired of everybody acting like normal and everybody got their shit together when everybody's scared, everybody's worried about the future. I can see it. Like, that's maybe the problem with autists for humans. You can't lie to us. So when I see all these people self-medicating with alcohol and cocaine and all that stuff every weekend to get through the week somehow, you can't tell me that that's healthy, and you can't tell me that that's normal. Yeah, and that's what this podcast is about. Not to blame anyone, but to really make us all understand that it's a system that fucks us, and we need to change the system now. Otherwise, it will fuck our children, and it will fuck the planet till it's done. And it's not like the planet will not survive us, but we won't survive us. So this is also very egotistical. And in the end, I don't really care because I know where I come from, and I will cover this in the next episode. I know where I come from and I know where I will go to after this visit on planet Earth, yeah? But all the people who really identify with being human should care, in my eyes, way more about saving the planet, because it's not about saving the planet, it's about saving humanity on the planet, yeah? So it's in the end, it's also like even this green wave, it's egotistical. And to me, that's what makes it inauthentic, because why do people say save the planet? Be honest, say let's save ourselves. But no, nobody loves themselves enough to really do something for themselves, right? So this is also like maybe another goal of this podcast is that, you know, if I manage to love things within me that are really antisocial sometimes, but it's just my how my brain is wired and I can't really do anything about it. Maybe I can be like somebody that shows other people how they can love parts within themselves that they always hated their whole lives, you know? Because I feel like everybody deserves to love themselves, and I believe that if everybody would love themselves, we could save humanity on the planet, and we could save so much more in within social interaction and within friendships and within relationships. But it takes a certain kind of vulnerability, right? And that's a good thing about autism as well. I don't take all of this very personal, you know? So I can tell you about all these things that I just told you without like really identifying with them. So maybe me as an autist is the person that really needs to take this step and be so vulnerable and talk about these taboos so that there is someone shining that light out into the world, and so others find ways to love themselves even though they are neurodiverse or in the autistic spectrum or whatever they might have, yeah? Because it all comes from somewhere, and it's I don't even like so much question where it comes from. I just want to know where it takes me to, you know, because to me, every curse is a blessing in disguise. So maybe I have some things that disabled me in social interaction with others, but I also have a lot of gifts, you know, that enable me to create art or do chi sessions and stuff that maybe other people are not able to do because they do not have my point of view on the world. And my diagnosis, or like, let's say, that thought of me being in the spectrum and me studying it and really relating to everything I read, made me understand that it's time now that we all embrace our diversities. And that maybe I am the one to do that because I am an autist and I do not identify with this human experience as much as other people do that. So, where was I? Sorry, that's also something. Sometimes I can like really lose track, so I wrote everything down. Other symptoms that made a professional think that I have Asperger autism is that since I was born, I always thought that I took a wrong turn when I reincarnated. Like, I really felt like, oh fuck, I'm in the wrong parallel universe, because I know like how the universe works since I was born, so I can see the structures and I can see the patterns. It's called the weird. It's like, it's also in all the ancient tales. It's a web, yeah? And the world is a web within the web. And so I always thought that I took a wrong string on this web when I reincarnated, because everybody around me was so different from me, or everyone perceived and acted so different from how I was acting and doing and perceiving. Another thing is that I'm living in other dimensions, which I know to be true since I was born too. I call myself a hybrid alien because my consciousness has incarnated in two strings of the web. So on one hand, I'm Daniela on planet Earth, and on the other hand, I'm Danica, which is an Arcturian being, but Arcturus is no longer a planet, so she's working on the spaceships of the Galactic Federation. And, you know, like, I looked a lot into me being crazy. Like, really, I did. And it just doesn't make any sense, because everything that I perceive and everything that I experience as Danica is as real as everything I perceive and live as Daniela. And in my point of view on the universe, it makes total sense that maybe even all autists are actually hybrids that have incarnated in two different realms or two different strings from the same, you know, it's a universe, and this universe is made from many different strings, which are kind of parallel universes within the same universe. And so to me, it makes a lot of sense that with evolution, you know, because what maybe humanity also tends to forget is that evolution is an ongoing process. We are still in the explosion of the Big Bang. So maybe evolution also contains the evolution of psychology, the evolution of the mind, the evolution of how many vessels can I incarnate in at the same time? Yeah? And to my stand of information, I am like one of the first round who really come here with all that knowledge. Like a lot of autists say that they are either mermaids. Mermaids actually stem from Sirius B, so they are also aliens. And a lot of others say that they are aliens. So I believe that maybe I'm one of the first round. I was born in 88. That really know everything since they were born. Like, I knew everything. I just kept it encapsulated because I was like, oh, fuck, I'm in the wrong parallel universe. So, like, I cannot share this wisdom because either they will burn me, they will kill me, or they will put me away. Or if nothing of that happens, they will consider me crazy and they will not, like, take me seriously anymore. So there's no point in telling all of that. And it took a lot of time and a lot of self-love to now create this podcast and talk about these things, which are so close and dear to my heart. Another reason for thinking that I'm autistic is that there was no chance of staying healthy when I was working in normal jobs, especially when those were in direct customer contact. I'm overwhelmed very quickly when I'm in direct contact with people. I can go to a rave and just be there on my own, dancing the whole night, interact with the people I want to. That's not a problem. But if I'm in a service job and people come towards me and I have to interact with them on a personal level, it gets very exhausting very quickly. But if you want me to lecture a book or something like that, I'm all for it. Like, I can dive into words for hours and I won't mind anything. So that's why also, like, I'm so good in tattooing the way I do, yeah? Because I do hand-poke tattooing, which takes a lot of patience. But it's very, very fulfilling to me because there is no noise of the machine. And to me, it's not a problem to have this patience and this focus for hours to make very fine lines by hand, where other friends that tattoo would never have the patience for that. But then again, they don't get triggered or bothered by the sound of the tattoo machine. I'm turning 35 in exactly 2 months from today, which is the general age to discover autism in adults. That was also one of the reasons. And my life quality has sunken drastically since my divorce at the age of 30. And difficult life events can trigger more symptoms to arise. Or in my case, I feel like maybe that was the thing that liberated me, that kind of made me understand, fuck, I have this, like, whole world encapsulated within me that I don't talk about, and actually it's my truth, and all the other things on the outside are not my truth. It's just like what I'm able to share without sharing my truth. So I was living very inauthentic for an autist, although nobody that has ever met me would tell you that I was inauthentic, because I was still very authentic to the point where I was allowing myself to, yeah. So, and the reason for me to get a diagnosis is that my whole life I tried to run the normal societal marathon and always blame myself for all the things that didn't work out. To now learn that I might have had a broken foot all along, which made it impossible for me to run like all the others do, but enables me to run paths others can't, was the most liberating thing I have ever experienced. I don't need an excuse, not a sickness to blame. I just want to know myself. I want to take care of myself, and I want to accept myself exactly as I am. Because with that acknowledgement of me being in a spectrum also came this realization of, fuck, I gaslighted myself so much. I so often expected things of me that maybe weren't possible for me. But because everybody just said of my therapist, yeah, something's different with you, but we don't know what. You're not bipolar. You're not manic depressive. You don't have ADHD. You are for sure hypersensitive, but there is something else and we don't know really what. And also, like, I didn't know what to look for. That's why I shared my symptoms with you now. Because once I talk to somebody who knows about Asperger's, I realize that I have all the symptoms. But before that, I didn't know what to look for. So some of my therapists didn't know about my self-harming behavior because I didn't tell them. I thought it wasn't important, you know? So maybe I was even part of the reason why I got diagnosed so late, simply because I didn't know that it all was one thing. Yeah, I saw the web of the universe. I saw the web of the world, but that I didn't see that me, myself, am a web as well. And that there are maybe different, I don't know, knots in my web than in the other webs. I didn't perceive that, or I didn't understand which knots to look for. So that's why I want to share this with you too. And I also don't look for answers, but I look for tools which make my life worth living again. And for that, I need to know in which drawer I can find them. Yeah, so I think for today that's enough. One thing, maybe also why I do this podcast, is because I really like to put structures into things, and I really like to understand things, especially when they are like related to myself. I guess that's autism too, because it comes from autos, self, yeah. And I even think that, you know, like, autistic people tend to be in their own bubble, and they tend to be very self-focused. And I know that this sometimes appeared rude to other people around me, but by now I understand it as a gift as well. Because I think our society trained us a bit, and again, I don't blame anybody for it. It's just structures that we were exposed to, and we are a structure that is exposed to a structure, and the other structure will form the structure we are, okay? So we were exposed to a lot of societal structures and conditionings that made us focus on everybody else, okay? So one thing I really don't like and I really don't want to listen to is talking about anybody else, except it's about your experience and you want to share something of your experience and somebody else was related to that experience. I don't care. But I don't like trash talking other people. I don't like even talking. I just don't like it. You know, if they're not here, they're not here. They should not be mentioned. And if they are mentioned, it should be positive. And I see so many people also, like, all the time comparing themselves to others. And you know, it's so much on the outside. The focus is on the outside. And I think the invitation of autistic people is, hey, look inside. Make yourself the top priority. Make the world around you adjust to what you need. It will make some people go away, but it might make better people arise. And if not, then you have yourself and you take care of yourself. Make space for your own needs. They are valid. Yeah? And I feel like that's maybe why autistic people can't act differently. And it's not because we want to. I actually really prefer if there is no attention on me. But I don't know why, there is always attention on me. Yeah? So why not use this attention and speak for those that maybe cannot talk? Because, you know, a lot of autists I know feel and think the same things as I do, but they feel that humanity will never understand them, and that's why they don't talk. It's not that they cannot talk. It's that they feel like you will never understand them, so what's the point in talking? What's the point in talking if the person I want to talk to doesn't understand my point of view? Because it's so far broader and wider and deeper than anything that they have ever felt or thought of. So I feel like it's really, autism is an invitation into being more human with each other. And to find out what being human actually is, because we still don't know. We know so much about the universe, but we know so little about ourselves. So it's an invitation into learning more about ourselves. Because to bring into formation, which information actually means, is to give structure. I, as an artist, love structures and patterns. I see them everywhere and understand them intuitively. So it is very easy for me to pin them down and word them out. Maybe I can be a voice for those who do not speak. But first and foremost, I want to be the voice of the part of me that I never really allowed to speak. And this part is Adat. And I'm very looking forward to show you her world and her perception of your world. And yeah, thank you so much for your attention and listening, and I wish you only the best of the best and send you much, much love.